Guys, let me just say something really quick. Bianca wanted me to keep secrets from you.
No, I didn't. Shut up.
This is the podcast, etc. I would like to, I don't know what the opposite of a shout out is, but I would like to give I'd like to send a shame spiral to my immune system, because the most I've gone out in 14 months and I fucked around and got a cold. You can hear it. And so shame on you, immune system. I love you. You're my brother, but you really disappointed me. And my point is, Bianca wanted me to not tell you guys I was sick. She wanted to keep secrets.
No, I didn't. I just, it doesn't matter.
What were you getting at?
No, I want you to like remind them you have like the vaccine.
Oh, of course I have the vaccine. Yeah, but it's, oh yeah, I'm not saying it like.
You're making it sound like I'm being weird.
Saying like I can't fucking believe I got a cold. Like, I didn't even know you could. This is for cold awareness as much as anything.
Okay.
Guys, it's still out there. Colds are real, even if you have the vaccine. And it's just a real, it's one of them things that I got a cold. And now, you're going to be mad at me for 2 hours.
No, I'm not.
Because of our beginning.
No,
I realize that most people don't hold a grudge as long as I do.
Yeah, I was like, that's just your projection as usual.
I like to hold a grudge. I'll hold a grudge decade minimum. Minimum.
You sound like Boys to Men right now. The guy, the talking part. Gooby girl.
Oh, yeah. All right. So we got four new songs that Will didn't set up. One of them is called Let Neil Clear His Throat, okay, I believe.
Let Neil clear his throat. Let him.
Lenny.
Doesn't feel spiritually aligned with this show.
No, it feels like it belongs on like a morning zoo crew.
Yeah.
Wacky.
Thank you for your time. That's letting. Probably five different tracks on GarageBand there.
I like Let Him.
Maybe Let Him. Maybe just take Let Him.
Dude, Let Him.
Let Him.
That's even.
Okay.
That's.
I mean, but the rattlesnake is kind of what it. I don't know. It doesn't work. But I would like to say.
Trying to salvage.
This is a story that I don't think I've ever told.
Okay.
You know how people will try to give people like me demos and shit?
Yeah.
Somebody gave Rock, Chris, Let Me Clear My Throat, the demo. And he gave it to Rick Rubin, and that's how it became a hit.
Let me clear my throat.
Yes. Gave it to him like, yo, play it. And I don't know why he listened to that one.
That's so.
But it's never works ever. Except that time.
Does that guy get credit?
I believe it's Fat Man Scoop or somebody. I think it's.
Oh, like when he was just.
Right. The guy got all scoop. Everything.
That's so cool.
DJ Cool. DJ Cool. Gave it to Chris. And then I don't know if that's in the Wikipedia page, but it was used in the 2019-2020 season of the Buffalo Sabres.
Wow.
The Cornhuskers use it to pump up the crowd over there in Nebraska. No mention of Chris.
The Cornhuskers. That's real. What Neil says that he just read is straight off the Wikipedia.
That's off the Wikipedia page. That's not off the dome, as it were.
Being very 90s. Today.
So, yeah. Anyhow. So now we're doing songs, I guess. Let's do songs. We
come on.
Yeah, we got a bunch of songs. Same gentleman.
Plant medicine.
Plant. That's called plant medicine.
I can't always understand it.
Yeah.
Plant medicine.
Yeah. He's mixed the vocals
plant
too much.
Plant medicine.
Mixed the vocals. Neil, it's so.
I think that's what he did.
Your assessment of this song is my favorite.
And that doesn't. Spirit Padre gets at something. Plant medicine sounds like some jamboree shit.
It sounds like we're going to do some
plant medicine and round up some
Corn Huskers.
Yeah. Hit it.
I got something to Chappelle you.
That's a song called I Got Something to Chappelle You. But the problem is, you guys, you heard it. It's 3-4 seconds before we. You got to keep it short, guys. Don't be like us who do a 2.5 hour podcast.
No.
That's our right.
I got something to Chappelle you.
Nah, it also sounds like you got Will to do the vocals.
Yeah. That's like Will. Maybe you're. Maybe it's the volume's too high. I don't know. I don't like the sounds of all these.
I don't either. But I don't. But that may be just a music problem. All right. And we have a fourth song?
No one cares.
Oh, that's a guy.
I like that one.
That one. That's
most.
Not bad. That's usable.
That's a guy who was castrated.
When he's telling a story and his girlfriend doesn't care, she sings that to him.
Oh, that's
and then he recorded it for us.
No, that's
her
good.
Singing it. So that's usable. That's Andre Williams.
And that's also short.
Yep. Gets to the point. Gets usable. The
no.
Plant medicine.
Plant medicine.
Dr. John.
Plant medicine.
Just group it in. Let me tell you a story about plant. Went down to the jamboree.
My father gave me a name. You know what I'm talking about.
Okay. So, anyhow.
How was your week?
Fucking great, Will. Great. Great. Great.
I love that.
Great. Because I need help, guys, because I have a cold today.
Yeah, so. We're
I'm a little grogged up.
Ooh, maybe I might be reading more.
I'm not that sick. Don't be crazy.
How was your week?
Well, how was your week?
How was your week?
Okay. I was. Did I do my birthday?
Well, we pre-taped.
We pre-taped for my birthday.
To accommodate your birthday.
I did my birthday. Yay.
What was it?
I had a pool party. And I barbecued. And I did.
Where?
Outside of LA. I just got Airbnb.
Got it.
And then I invited you, but.
Must have lost something.
I asked you and you're like, nah.
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 Going, I'll probably get sick out
there. Yeah. You could help your immune system. Mm. And I had a pinata that was me.
Great.
And you
didn't have people hit you with a bat. You had them kiss you, correct? You
don't kiss me and you'll get the sweet, sweet dulces.
Yeah. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you do, a bat?
Yeah. And then I put, I went to the pinata mart and Tiana and a Mas Negra? Mas Negra. Like, you know, wanted to look like me.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, no Mas
More
Negra.
Black.
No Mas Negra. Yeah. So I put a lot of bronzer. She was in blackface. But the point was still there. She had my same curl pattern.
Did the police come and shut you down?
What?
For blackening.
It's my pinata. And then... Yeah, so I did my birthday. Hey, ho. And then I did the, I don't know. It was nice. It was great. I didn't think about much. Everyone's drinking, have a good time. And then it was done. Great.
Beautiful. What do girls want on their birthday?
Well, I did on the invite say in the what to bring section, I wrote gift.
Gifts?
I was like, bring a gift. It could be anything though. I reminded everyone, like, you can even draw me a picture.
But I'm
care.
Saying like, do you want?
I
guys
like,
clearly want to get laid. Like, that's all guys want.
Okay.
Anyway.
I like things. So even a drawing or just a, I thought of you and I, you know, a flower, a nice rock, a shell, or more
what was
expensive.
Can we get into what the best gift and what the worst gift was?
Let's see what I got. I got a nice framed picture. I got, I love Magnus.
Of me? What was it of?
Of Neil itching his throat.
What was it?
I got a magnet of myself, which I love magnets. I love magnets.
I have some good news for you. For some reason, I just found 8 magnets under my chair.
Oh, my God.
I've been playing with 8 magnets.
I love these kind of magnets, too.
Sweetheart.
Oh, my God.
I literally just found. I was playing. I don't know how they got. I mean, I know how they got there.
How did they get there? Watch.
My phone. Yeah.
This is amazing. I love these, and I always see them on people's fridge. I'm like, I need those.
Man. If only someday I'll get one of those.
Did you plan this?
I hadn't.
Did
no,
you
I,
plan
could, I literally couldn't have planned it. How could I have planned it? Bianca, me and Will got together beforehand. I was like, hey, do you know anything that Bianca really likes but doesn't? Yeah, it's funny. She always brings up magnets.
But yeah, no, I got, well, I just.
You
this
just got
the
seven magnets, right?
I got seven presents today. I got, what did I get? I got very nice things. I don't remember right now because you're asking me. But lovely. Thank you for all the gifts. And thanks for the laughs. So it was great. It was fun.
Beautiful.
What did you do while I was celebrating my birthday?
I don't really remember. All I do now is fucking work on the documentary.
I know.
Which may or, I mean, it's a whole other story, but work on the documentary and...
Is it getting you down?
No, it's not getting me down. It's just hard and kind of endless. And
that's like not fun.
Just do that and then I'm working on the show, the New York show. Mm. So that's kind of all I did. And then I went out once and got cold.
What's up? You get colds. Like when we flew to DC, you got sick on the plane for like 2 hours.
That's air sick.
Like you just got like red and itchy.
Well, I just get air sick.
What was air
sick? I get like nauseous on the plane. Like I have to almost sleep to get through the nausea.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you get sick often? Like how many times a year?
Once.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But nauseous, I get nauseous pretty easily.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Nausea.
So when
people
bring up nausea with ayahuasca, I'm like,
Oh, you're like just another day.
At one point I was taking Zoloft, but I like had doubled my dosage and I would throw up probably four nights a week around sunset. Around sunset, just sundown, I just would throw up. I would just get nauseous and throw up. And I thought, this is what an idiot I am. I didn't put it together. I thought I was eating a lot of Lifesavers. So I was like, you know, these Lifesavers are making me vomit.
Who eats
so
Lifesavers?
I had to like stop. When they introduced the sugar freeze, I had to go.
Okay.
I went ham. So nausea to me is just like, yeah, just throw up and then you're done.
That's so weird.
It's not like, oh my God, my body's heaving. It's like, okay. And then it's good.
Good.
So that was my week. Nothing of much interest. Now, so let's do with a recap.
Okay, go.
Of the news.
The news.
Naomi Osaka went a step further and just dropped out of the French Open.
Yeah, which is wild, right?
And mentioned it was basically all the stuff we'd said because we filmed Friday and what taped Friday, whatever. This happened last Monday. She said, it's so funny watching these corporations try to figure out how to deal with my mental health.
They don't know.
Because you can't, it's a bit like service dogs.
It's gray. You're like,
it's a gray area. And if somebody pleads my mental health, it's like exhaustion when celebrities used
to
get.
Right, like I was exhausted.
And they all ended up being drug addicts. every single one of them. You can't call bullshit on my mental health.
Right.
So, you know, they'll get, I don't envy them. Because the credo in sports is like, gut it out. You fucking... And then people were writing that on my Instagram because I tweeted, what's your favorite all-time tennis press conference moment?
Yeah.
And people were like, yeah, she's an elite athlete. And I'm just like, okay.
Right.
What does this have to do with interviews? Is people don't... They go, well, they have to do interviews because it promotes it. You don't know that.
Yeah.
We assume it does, but I've never watched a tournament because I saw the press conference on Thursday.
Do you look forward to the locker room press conference situation?
No. Almost never. They're almost never interesting. Even the Allen Iverson practice thing is 20 years ago. And it's so rare that we still talk about it. Like, remember that one time a press conference was interesting?
You're right.
Once. and I'm just here so I don't get fined. Those are the two. But most of the time, it's game in and game out. We got, you know, we're going day to day, and, you know, we're coming together. We're gelling at the right time and just, you know, got to give the other team a lot of credit. Mm. They're a heck of a ball club. Brian Regan had a great joke about you got to give him a lot of credit, which is a guy running to the losing team's locker room and going like, "Guys, I know you're upset, but the winning team said they got to give us a lot of credit." So yeah, like everybody acts like I don't envy the tennis thing, because they've been doing it this way.
Yeah.
It's a lot of it's just about control.
Right.
And just like, well, we want it this way. Well, right. We want it
for the press. No.
Yeah. They think the press conferences are good. It's like,
no, how much is it the like correspondence pushing for that thing? Because without that, a whole part of the reason why they're at the Open and stuff like that goes away. Because they're kind of to report
that. Oh, I guess. Yeah, you're right. Like that they're protecting their turf of being a, you know, it's one thing if it's the White House, right?
Right.
Like they work for us. They owe us information.
Right.
But this is just, I don't know why you would, I don't know why you'd protect a part of your job that's demonstrably stupid. Mm. Like this, obviously they all want to be on TV. They all want to be correspondents. They have careers, but you can still report from the sidelines. You just don't. And they do the thing with the trophy presentation. Right, right. Like that probably won't go away. I just don't think they were worthwhile. I don't think that it was a worthwhile thing.
Yeah, it feels like just no one wants to lose any of their power any time. So when you budge one thing, it's like, we're going to go with it. Well, we're going to fine you. And that's just a way of controlling and making sure we still have the press conferences so people can report it. And they get. But it's like, she could just give her own press conference with no press there.
Well, that's the other. This is the thing I said. Somebody said, like, AKA it helps with the popularity. Media. And I go, on Twitter, I go, really, when was the last Drake press conference you saw? Artist of the decade, wickedly popular,
right?
Never does anything.
Right.
Never does anything. So, and that's the old, I had a discussion with a guy who writes for the Washington Post and was writing an article about Dave, and it was a whole thing. But I was saying to him, like, why would a famous comedian like Dave, for instance, tell you his story so that you can play telephone and tell the reader and editorialize however you
want. Spin it
negatively, positively, whatever. There's only two speeds in those articles, which is fawning. And then there's one what I call I ain't no bitch paragraph. We're like, don't get me wrong. I find some of his trans stuff troubling. Like, I ain't no bitch. He ain't perfect. So, and I was explaining it, and he was kind of like, well, you're saying that my entire career is, and I'm kind of like, I don't know what to tell
I'm
you.
Not with, saying
if the reason comedians' podcasts are popular, the reason people would rather do Marin than the New York Times is because I know Marin. And if I tell him cut it, he will cut it.
Yeah, and you're not going to leave Marin feeling like,
I did.
What the fuck did I just
I'm
do?
I'm the only person ever who said, throw the episode away.
Oh, no.
Years ago, he did,
happened?
And then we redid it.
Was it just not fun, or did something happen?
It just wasn't fun. It was a little tonally, I didn't love his tone. So I had him
erase it. You love Marin's tone?
Can you believe it? Mark Marin.
It's wild.
So this is a side note. I brought a friend to the Comedy Store last week, and I went on after Marin. And my friend goes, I like that cowboy guy. Because he has like a mustache.
Oh, yeah.
No, and like a denim jacket. And I was like, yeah, I get it. If you don't know who he is, he's like a cowboy.
That's very funny. Yeah.
So why would Naomi Osaka, she just was able to, it's like why the Players Tribune works. If it's still, I mean, the Players Tribune is like, it's owned by players, and you get to write essays, and they, you work with an editor or writer, and they, spruce it up for you. But it's like Blake wrote an article about why he doesn't dunk so much anymore. Like, you can kind of go there right. and express yourself in a way that's uninterrupted and you can think through it. You don't have to, you're not reliant on the spur of the moment. She's got social anxiety. You can tell she has social anxiety. Right. She looks very uncomfortable when she's speaking to reporters. Why do that to her?
Yeah, also, if you take it out of sports, just why would, if I don't trust you, and you've lied about me, and you are a source of my anxiety, I'm being forced to talk to you and tell you personal things about me, or I get fined. Like, when you just put it like, no, everyone thinks it's crazy if you break it down like that. But when it comes to sports,
even if they're not hostile.
No, it's not. It's never actually hostile. It's always hostile with how they spin it or how they print it or what quote they choose to take. But no one anywhere is in this position, but we make an excuse for it because they get a lot of money and they get more money than most people. And they're athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, well, you're an athlete.
Well,
you're getting
paid
a fuck ton of money.
Yeah, but they make a pittance compared to Drake. Right. And yet no press conferences from Drake.
Right.
Well, you need to know. I need to know what happened on Views. Hey, Drake, what happened on Views?
That would be really funny if record companies made them do press conferences.
Yeah.
Way more problematic, though.
This the idea that this is necessary or especially helpful is insane.
Yeah.
It's just insane. And then she dropped out. And then Federer, I think, hurt himself. He dropped out. He got hurt during a match and pulled out. And
I didn't realize how much money this guy has.
Federer?
He's been great.
He's kind of got to be close to a billion. By the way, guys like that make a lot of money off the court.
Yeah.
So I guess he won, but he bounced. And then the funny thing was a female tennis player got injured at a press conference.
Ow.
She must have tripped or something.
They're dangerous.
Ankle injury at a press conference.
Oh, no.
Imagine. It was a wild French Open. Another girl got arrested.
Why? How are you up on this news?
She fell and hurt my ankle. Because I think it's in my Google vector.
Oh, no. Vector. MRI. So who got arrested?
How many people must you injure, press, before you finally
physically,
give up the
mentally.
Ghost? Yeah.
Oh, my.
She got
the same
a
person?
Russian lady.
Oh, no.
Different lady. No, that's racist.
Sorry.
Against Russians.
Yeah,
to imply that Russian women look alike is insanely racist. Last year she fixed a match.
There's match fixing in tennis.
She's ranked 200th.
Oh, so she's like, I
so
need
she's
to get,
make
I
a
need
living
some traction.
Somehow. Yeah. But she was like, they noticed a lot of betting on that match.
Mm.
And then she started going like, oh, my arm. She was fucking up in ways that were a little cartoony. And she went to jail this week.
Oh, my God.
She got bailed out, but she was there for, I believe, a day.
So she can't play ever again.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to let her. She was there to play again, though. Who knows what trick she had up her sleeve this year. I hope she bet that Naomi wouldn't win and then convinced Naomi to drop out. She's a black
she's
widow,
a,
guys.
She's
a black
shadow.
Widow. She's Maria Portisikova. The lady who joined the NRA and she whatever. Trump, something. Speaking of Trump, great segue, Neil.
You're on it.
Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers professional counseling done securely online. So if you feel like there's something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, definitely check out BetterHelp. What are you dealing with emotionally and mentally right now?
I'm doing a podcast with Neil Brennan.
Ugh. So that's, you're dealing with my anger. You're dealing with my petulance. You're dealing with my codependency. You're dealing with my boundaries. There's a lot of those. That's my confession for the stuff that I would use BetterHelp for. We live in LA, so there's a lot of therapists, but most of the, there's some stat where there's just not therapists in a lot of counties in the country, which is terrifying.
Or there's a lot, it's a long wait list.
Yes. So whatever you're dealing with, BetterHelp has a wide range of counselors available for you. Plus, BetterHelp is more affordable than traditional online counseling. Financial aid is available and it's easy to get started. Once you sign up, BetterHelp will match you with your own licensed professional therapist who you'll be able to communicate with in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not a self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. And BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so it is easy and free to switch counselors if needed. You can send a message to your counselor at any time and get timely, thoughtful responses. And plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so it's the perfect way to do therapy during the pandemic, and you won't have to go back to sitting in uncomfortable waiting rooms in the future. So, here's what you got to do. Go to betterhelp.com/feel. BetterHelp, BETTER, help, HELP.com/feel to join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. New testimonials from users have posted daily. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So go to betterhelp.com/feel to get 10% off your first month. One more time, that's betterhelp.com/feel for 10% off your first month.
You're on it.
It's got it. Trump went before the tribunal at Facebook.
Did they actually have a meeting?
They've never all met, actually. There's like 20 of them, I think, and they've never been in the same room on account of the COVID. But I bet they use, it'd be funny if they use Google Messenger and not Facebook Messenger. he's not allowed to use Instagram or Facebook until after the 2022 midterms. He's basically got a 2-year bid. He's got to do a 2-year bid.
And after that,
and then they'll think about it. But
think about it.
He said he thinks he's getting reinstated as president in August. So he's got, you know, when the God closes a door, he opens a window. You know what I mean? So
why does he think that?
Cause they think they're going to overturn Arizona.
Oh, the Arizona recount. The recount, which I heard is full of many problems.
Yes. So. Yeah. So, you know, just crazy shit. QAnon shit.
Yeah.
And then Laura Trump dismissed it, but it's been, Maggie Haberman said it. So, she just talks to him.
Yeah.
So she like, when it's like, it's always him.
Right.
Sources so. Close to him. It's him.
Exactly. Mm.
So, you know, we'll put money in your commissary, King.
I also, it's just weird. I mean, we talked about it before, but it's weird that Facebook is the one holding Trump to any sort of.
Well, that's why.
That's.
Comedians are so valuable is because politicians aren't going to hold people to
certainly not
to hold people's feet to the fire. They're not, they won't, there's no, I can't do shit about Mitch McConnell. I literally cannot do shit. He's fucking up the country as far as I'm concerned. I can't do anything. Or Kristen Sinema or Joe Manchin, any of these people. And the Republican Party isn't going to hold Trump to account. So Facebook has to go like, okay, because they're a publicly traded company. They can be penalized for it. And
it's funny that
they're worried about lawsuits, I'm sure, because they're, although they, whatever statute, they're not responsible for the shit on their platform. I don't think Zuckerberg wants to be responsible for riots.
Right.
Or, riots or death in Myanmar or any of that shit. So one country, Nigeria, just shut Twitter down this week.
They're just like, no.
No, thank you.
No Twitter for you.
Somebody, Twitter, the president of Nigeria got a real Twitter karate.
real Twitter. Yeah.
He basically tweeted something threatening of people in his country, and then they blocked him. They blocked the president of Nigeria, and then he was like, "I'll do you one better. I'm blocking your whole website from my whole country." No. I mean, I'm kind of on his side on that.
Why?
Fuck him. If they're going to block me, fuck you.
Now no one gets to
That's
to play.
What my dad would have done.
Well.
And I turned out fine. I know what you're getting at.
Let Neil clear his throat.
That's our new song for me clearing my throat.
We could.
Well, you'll cut that out.
Edit that one.
Yeah.
Let him.
It's growing on us.
So, whatever. So, God bless these social media companies. I don't know. But they're in an impossible
situation. If Trump was like, nah, Twitter's banned for everyone in America.
Well,
would you care?
Then I would care. But it's Nigeria, so they do it a little differently over there. They do. It's not like, who am I to take away a black man's agency, Bianca?
Stop.
Black man has his own agency.
Stop. Black
and
man.
And for me, to
black man?
To take my privilege and in any way judge, I'm Bianca.
Okay.
I would never. You know that's not me.
Speaking of racism.
Go.
Explain to me about this. Racist to cover.
Okay. So we talked last week about how Wuhan, it might have come from a lab.
Wuhan,
right?
Yeah.
The reason this was not a fringe theory. There's a lab in Wuhan that collects coronaviruses and studies them and develops them. It's the only one in China.
Yeah. But it's been around for a while.
Right. But
like everyone knows. Yeah.
Everyone didn't know that. I didn't know that. And all I did was sit in bed and hit refresh.
You didn't know at the beginning they were talking about.
I didn't catch it. So
there's a movie about that almost mirrors coronavirus. It's like a Russian movie. And it's about a coronavirus escaping from that Wuhan.
Now you're expecting me to know Russian movies.
I'm not. I'm just saying that I felt like a lot of people were just talking about the lab theory because of the Wuhan lab. I mean, you heard about the Wuhan lab.
I thought
lab.
It was the wet market. All I heard was what
you never heard
market.
Wuhan lab.
I have no reason to lie about this.
No, I know.
All I knew was it came from the wet market, which seemed plausible because wet markets are gross.
They're disgusting.
So of course, it flatters my biases. So basically, this was not a fringe theory. Calling it, saying that it came from the lab was never really legacy media covered. It was never in the Washington Post, New York Times, Guardian, any of that shit. Very much, Bianca. Relative to the wet market, would you give me a 10-to-1 ratio?
No, the only reason why I have a confused face on is because when it was all going down and everyone's like, where the fuck did this come from? What's going on in China? What's going on in Wuhan? That's where I heard that it could have come from a lab or it could have come from a wet market. And no one is denying anything and no one's saying, they're just saying it most likely came from an animal.
Right. But most legacy media was mostly saying wet market.
Mm.
That's in my, I can't do a ratio search, but you could, whatever. You could do a Google search.
You're not the right person to do it. No,
you're
too
great.
Much power.
We're crazy about you. The way you came in with what happened to your week
we're crazy
was amazing.
There was a
texting issue that we'll cover later.
Uh-oh.
Right. Wuhan lab leak. It just spiked in May.
Wow.
Well, yeah, it just spiked. So it wasn't common. So I'm sorry.
I was on the forefront.
Yeah, you were on the forefront.
I bought
go
Wuhan
back.
Lab leaks.
Do two Mixed years it. Instead of. Do Wuhan lab leak. Past five years. Yeah, it didn't
whatever
really.
Whatever that is.
That's
whatever
April.
That is where
that's a little that's almost 5 to 6 to 1.
No, for sure. Yeah. I just mean that spike is where I heard it.
Yeah.
So I always thought.
And look at wet market, Wuhan wet market.
We just never knew the reason.
Yeah. Wet market. Yeah. I've never, this is the most satisfied I've ever been with a chart.
Yeah.
Maybe in my whole life.
And Will is at the helm.
I mean, so many things came together for this, for this to happen. It's so exciting. Basically, the chart says that the Wuhan lab leaks searches on Google peaked in
in
March 20th of 2020.
Yeah.
Right? And the Wuhan lab leak searches peaked in May of 2021. So if I could do this with everything I talk about, I would be a much happier person.
But you and I do
wink,
think,
wink, you know, nothing.
But I do think this was obvious.
What do you mean?
Like, it was clear that one dominated and now another dominated.
I was so just I'm saying, just well, no, you were saying, about, you. I thought you were implying that the lab leak thing was common. It was not a common thing.
No, I'm just saying that I heard it
right.
enough that this isn't the first time I'm hearing about it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'd heard.
That's why I'm like, this
I'd
graph
heard
is
about it, but it was always like there not, was a guy who was on Rogan and Bill Maher, who, but it was like probably in the last 6 months, who was kind of saying, there's some shit in this in the genome of this that are like field labby.
If you watch the those like I don't know medical fireside chats that we had with like every day and yeah. Fauci would come on. I remember one of them where he said that he can't say it didn't come from a lab. They don't know where it came from. He feels like because it is similar to SARS and MERS. Which came from an animal and it has similar proteins that he's betting it's not from the lab,
mm-hmm.
but the people in the lab got sick. So he's like, I can't tell.
Yeah, that was recently. He said that in the last month, I believe.
Okay, but I'm just saying, oh, whatever, it doesn't matter. We're saying the same thing. I'm just saying that you're not like
it's
proving
more like
something.
Biden, no, I don't think I am. It's more like Biden, the white, like the.
Now that
the
they're
liberals,
on board, now everyone's like,
liberals
okay, cool.
wouldn't dare.
Say lab.
That lab,
yeah, no,
because they were afraid that it would be weaponized against Asian people,
yeah,
right. That's wrong to me because it's you're being dishonest.
Wait, were they being dishonest? Because we have way more information now than we did in April 2020. You know what I mean?
I don't think we have much more information.
You think we have more?
I don't think
super
it's night and day.
You know what I mean?
But I don't think it's night and day. I think that the there was a 60 Minutes story about it yesterday, where that when all the scientists went there, like in mass and whatever.
Yeah. What did they say?
They said that there were two. There was a pro guy and an anti guy. The pro guy said, "I've been dealing with the National Health Organization for my whole life. I'm like the China. Mm. I'm the China guy for the NHS. I'm just called the NHO or the WHO.
Yeah.
And then there was a guy that's like, they all got sick. People in the lab got sick. That's I think the new information, which has been the past couple of weeks.
You know what it is? I think the reason why I'm thinking about it like this is because I also don't get all my information from just liberal, super far left. You know what I mean? So that information, if you aren't watching super far left, you're right, where they were like, we're not going to call the China virus. We're going to go the opposite. So mm-hmm. we are nothing like Trump.
Right.
We're not
and
even
that's
touching.
Where I go, that's not right.
Mm.
You can't shade things. To because people will weaponize it against a group. It's like,
yeah,
you can't even with the Israeli and Palestinians. They while it is very shaded toward Israelis because they don't want another Holocaust. You still knew that the Israelis were bombing Hamas. It wasn't like they didn't bomb Hamas. They would just go like there were like 200 Palestinians killed and like an Israeli. And they would act like that wasn't a 200-to-1 ratio, but they didn't not cover it. Do you know what I mean? They would shade a little bit, but they wouldn't go, no, that was just something fell. That wasn't an explosion. There was something fell in a building. That building was it collapsed for no reason. So I feel like you're sitting on something. You're sitting
no,
on
I'm just
opinion.
Trying to understand
well, I
your
don't,
issue
it's like,
with-
how do you, because they should have said, that it might have come from a lab. But to your point, they didn't want to be. They didn't want to be China rivals. They didn't want to be. They didn't want to play into Trump's anti-Asian sort of dog whistling.
But I think also less, you know, a less righteous and more realistic reason is because, like, when Chernobyl happened, it's not like right now is not a time to point fingers. It's what we got to mitigate this issue. And then obviously you have a committee and you do your research and you figure out what exactly happened. In my head, I just thought everyone was holding out to point the blame at exactly what happened because we were also in the middle of a pandemic. I understand one got clearly skewed that one way and not the other, but I don't think no one ever said it isn't.
You think it's like not telling somebody bad news when you're getting bad news? If you're at a funeral, don't say, you know, he choked himself jerking off.
Right. Or like, and they need China to play ball because China had so much information.
I still don't think they played ball the way they should.
I'm not sure if they did or not. I'm just saying if you need information from someone who's been dealing with the coronavirus probably like 6 months ahead of you, then I don't know. I just feel like they were just being extra careful for a million reasons that I don't know if they were that wrong.
There is a part of me, and I'm liberal, who thinks like that's what happened. They were... As much as you could paint it as being thoughtful or considerate.
I don't think it's thoughtful or considerate. I think everyone's really careful before they criticize China.
Well, yeah, but they were pretty quick about the wet market. They didn't go, we don't want to harm the wet market.
Because a wet market is a lot easier to say like, oh, just a cultural market, as opposed to like, y'all did some shit. You know?
They fucked up. I think they just fucked up. I don't think that they intentionally leaked it.
No,
I think
but China was not being forthcoming with saying, hey, you guys, we fucked up. So they were also like, I remember people saying like China's not giving us right numbers. They're saying, oh, no, we're fine here. And meanwhile, they are actually like still shutting down whole cities. Even when they were saying they were fine and mm-hmm. photos of Wuhan,
yeah.
people in like a, I don't know.
Welding people into their homes. One of my favorite things ever.
What? Because it's
they
welding.
They were welding people. I just think it's like, that's what I would do.
That's what you would do.
It's my life.
Yeah.
It's called blaming the victim. And it's a lifestyle.
I just think it's not as easy as, oh, let's just go against let's just go against Trump. Oh.
I don't think it's that obvious, but.
And I don't particularly think they were thinking about.
Saying it's a wet market is a bit of a scapegoat, like an easy.
It's an easy like.
It's
we
an
don't
easy
know,
target, and it doesn't.
It's service dogs. It's service dogs.
Yeah, I still think it's like, they. If it had been, I don't know if Canada. I mean, liberals. Where do liberals like to attack?
But think about it. Take it outside because this isn't an American virus pandemic. This happened everywhere. A lot of countries did not go and say it was your fucking labs, even though a lot of countries had similar information.
Well, because the WHO wouldn't give them good information. So, like,
I'm saying, like, it's not a Trump versus, you know, like, it's not as politicized as you think. Because there were other countries that had command of their media.
I think we have
media.
Like take up 30% of the oxygen in the UN
sure.
and the WHO. Tom York one time from Radiohead said that, and I used to make this joke on Chappelle Show, which is Tom York would say, Radiohead is the UN and I'm America.
Oh, no.
Like, just like, I'm going to get the outsized like, portion right. of like fucking bossiness. Moving on. This is interesting. Another sports story.
Tell me.
We should do two sports stories in a row. We're gonna call an audible sports term. PGA guy, professional golfer. He's up by 6 shots.
Okay, that's
after
good.
Saturday. It's like kind of a blowout.
Okay.
Show the video, Will. Go to YouTube. There's video. Watch his reaction when he. Watch his reaction. This is them telling him he has. Okay. They tell him he has COVID. This is a commercial that I did not direct because it's not very much fun. sort of, I don't like this tone.
Pecan, I can.
It's a little
it's not
muted.
Good.
It's a little muted. It's not bad. It's just a little muted.
Oh, sad.
Now you get it. Now that we put it in Tiger Woods terms.
Oh, Tiger Woods.
Yeah, just like literally you're disqualified. Now, here's the good question. I think I just saw your brain go there as well. John, did you get the vaccine?
John looking a little right wingy.
John?
John looking like he...
John, do you believe vaccine? Do you believe COVID's real now, John?
John's looking a little...
John? Yeah, like that's one of those things where it's like, I feel like this could have been avoided. The funny thing is the two guys he played with weren't worried about it because they both had COVID.
Yeah.
Because they,
so it's like, yeah, yeah, like we fucked they, around and got it.
Yeah. Now, if he got, if he did get the vaccine, it's a historic level tragedy.
Yeah. Now, but he didn't.
Do we know?
Let's ask. Will.
Didn't get it.
Ha! No,
didn't
that's me.
Didn't get it.
But it's just.
You
like-
want to talk about losing out on the COVID lottery? Buddy. Get the shot. If Rahm had been vaccinated ASAP after his home state of Arizona opened eligibility to all adults on March 24th, the 26-year-old Spaniard almost certainly would have avoided testing positive. And he would have gotten $1.6 million. But, you know, Bianca,
that
we all have a price.
Wild.
You can't buy John Rahm's. You can't pay John Rahm to believe in science.
I think
John Rahm. John Rahm. No, he's doubling down.
He's like, fuck this.
I know somebody who got it and who wouldn't, who would talk about it like it was fake and got it. And then I go, so what do you think now? And he's like, I still think they exaggerate. The, oh, I think the press exaggerates. It's like, you're not going to get people to say, you know, that they were fucking dead wrong.
Right. No, I have someone who was just like, no, sending me, she's like, did you see this? And it was the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation sign. It was like, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation for cloning humans. I'm like, stop sending me this. This is stupid. And then she hit me up talking about, so did you get Moderna or which one has less side effects? I'm trying to go for the one with less side effects. I'm like,
well, I don't care
stop
if you change your mind.
Me.
I don't care if you change your mind.
No, no, but it was all just like, like it was still, I don't believe in this. I have to do this for work. And,
right.
But it just, it's finding a way to still keep their integrity.
Yeah. Well, yeah, to still.
With themselves. It's like, okay, I'm going to take it, but.
Hold on. Hold on 1 second. So PGA guy.
I mean.
You pay, you look, you sometimes every once you're a great historic figure who paid the price for his beliefs. You're up there with Bill Russell.
Tell us about Bill Russell, Dad.
Bill Russell, of course, won 10 NBA championships, won't sign autographs for any white people, especially.
What? Who is this guy?
Bill Russell's the greatest NBA player of all time. You'll recognize him.
Did he play for the Knicks?
He played for the Celtics. He's like the best. He's a great man. A
so
truly great man.
What? How come this guy and Bill Russell are in the same?
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's like you're.
I don't know enough. I'm like,
John Rahm's the Muhammad Ali of anti-vaxxers.
Wait, he doesn't sign. He doesn't sign autographs for white people.
He doesn't sign autographs for anybody.
Okay, I don't believe in autographs. Let's have a cup of coffee instead. I like him.
He's great. He's great.
Aww.
Super folksy. Fucking incredible basketball player. Wrote a book called Second Wind that I read.
Good.
And yeah, actually great. Has a really funny about observation about LA.
What?
Which is people think that scheduling meetings is a job. And he made that observation at like 68.
How old is this guy?
80.
Wow. Is he the one who played Larry Bird?
No.
Sorry.
No, he's won 10 champion. He's 87. He's won 10 championships. He's the winningest player, and he was a player coach.
Awesome.
And he was like,
he's a
you
logo?
Know,
no,
he's not the logo. White guy's logo. Don't be crazy. They had to make a white guy the logo. What are you out of your mind? Bill Russell said something funny in this book, which is at one point he jumped so high he was scared at the top because he didn't know how he was going to land.
That's
isn't that crazy?
That just gave me goosebumps.
He was like, he didn't know how he was going to land. He was like, I don't know how. And I've asked players about it and they were like, no. Like, yeah, like they were all, he just, it's back when basketball was like the Wild West.
Right.
Yeah. So John Ram is the Muhammad Ali of anti-vaxxers. they can't buy you, John Ram. They offered you $1.6 million to get the vaccine and you said no, which is Spanish for no, because you're also Spanish, John Ram.
How mad is he when he gets the vaccine, though?
Now he's definitely not getting the vaccine.
No, he's just like, fuck
yeah.
That.
Well, for what? Because, by the way, now that he's gotten it, he won't need it, and he'll do the antibody game. Long story. But I think if you have antibodies and you get the shot, you're good forever. I don't know if I told you that.
Well, yeah. What are we?
You might be good forever. That's what they think. Yeah.
Forever? Why?
I don't know. Because you have such a high count of antibodies.
I will say I got extremely sick on the first one. And the nurses were saying most people who have had COVID get really sick on the first one because your body's like, wait a minute.
Your body's never seen it.
No. Your body's like, this motherfucker again?
Oh, well, the first shot.
The first shot.
Got it. Yeah. Moving on. And then there's an NFL story that's so creepy.
Tell.
The race norming thing.
Oh yeah, it's first of all, I actually didn't know what race norming was.
Click the race norming is bigotry that began with good intentions. Okay, so
I know what it is.
Basically, race norming is when they do sort of intelligence tests for black players, they thought it would be cool if they made the assumption that black players had lower IQs than white players.
No, cognitive function.
Okay.
IQ or cognition,
whatever. Cognitive function. They assumed that black players would have lower baseline cognitive functions than white players, which, I don't even know where to begin on that. Sounds racist to me. I'm going to have to unpack it a little bit. Just this doesn't really pass
it, Neil,
the smell test.
This is how you smell.
So basically, all right, well, in 1980, the Department of Labor pressured employers to adjust aptitude test scores to improve the performance of black people who often did worse than white people. Scroll up, Will, or down, yeah. The Equal threatened to sue companies not adopting such race norming. Racial adjustments also became widely used in medical diagnoses, like how black women aren't given aspirin because you can take so much pain. Race norm was imposed with the best of intentions to help combat discrimination. I understand that. Like, I understand how they were.
Well, it was because of apparently in a lot of federal jobs.
Yeah.
That because the tests were racist.
Right.
Against black people, they put in race norming to even the playing field. And then, of course, conservatives didn't like it.
I think I've heard the argument that they weren't racist. How do you make a test racist?
I think it's...
asking them about shit only white people could know?
Or you just different... Like, I don't know because I didn't get into what was racist about the test. Like, how is a test racist if everyone has access to it, you know? And it's just...
Apparently, one of the questions that they used to put on tests was about walking barefoot in your house, which black people never do because they wear house shoes. And they had to get rid of that question. That was one of the very racist. That's a joke question.
It was set up. That
black
was
people
a set
always
up.
Use. Black people, in my experience, wear house shoes proportionally 8-1 to white people.
It's like, do you wash your meat?
Well, do you wash your meat? Do you wash your legs? Do you... Of course. Washcloth.
Of course.
The classic washcloth. We did it.
You guys did it.
That was us.
But basically, they apparently, when they used it in medicine, from what I read, because of systemic racism in the medical industry against black people and all the reasons why, we get that part, they have a higher rate of dementia and black folks. So they were saying they kind of wanted to use race norming to test the cognitive function as a baseline to say, like, no, it's not that they are more prone to dementia. It's because of, like, all these outside factors, whatever. Yeah. Anyways, the NFL uses it to say, like, your baseline is lower than a non-black person. Your baseline cognitive function is lower. They use it in, like, these guidelines that they give.
Well, they kind of make it high. They raise black people's cognitive function, right? Basically, they were doing CTE tests.
Make it worse.
Tests.
Whatever is worse.
They were doing cognitive functioning tests.
Right.
And black people were getting less money. Black players were getting less settlement because they normed their cognitive function higher. So therefore, they were... It seemed like they did. Their brains were just damaged.
Yeah.
Because for whatever, they would race norm, I guess, the cognition on the CTE test. It's just one of those nightmares. Just a nightmare. Like a nightmare policy that you can't believe they were doing.
It basically, when you want to say, hey, I got dementia and I need compensation, the tools that the doctors had to use, even though they aren't NFL doctors, to evaluate you are racist. So the doctors, along with the wives of the people suffering from dementia, basically joined together and were like, this, come on, guys. Like, you, so we're just going to say all these black players were just, like, low to begin with. So we can't.
Well, yeah, how bad can you dementia be? Your brain was barely working anyway.
Use a washcloth.
Look at you in your house shoes.
But now they're going to go reevaluate. And, like, what I don't get is why the NFL has so much money. Why not just take care of people? I know, of course, hey, we're not going to give out money for free, but why not just have it in your clause? Like, if you have dementia, we will.
Because they just
that many people
they
in
were,
the
NFL owners are like cartoon white people. They're all just like cartoon fucking like Jerry Jones. They're just so capitalist white. Robert Kraft, Jerry Jones. They just like they're like tanned. They're like red, a little bloated. Robert Kraft apparently petitioned to get the Deflategate investigation taken away. Like, Robert Kraft looks like just a, you know.
That's the guy that got that meme where he's walking in the.
No, that's actually not him.
Oh.
That's Roy Williams, coach of North Carolina, where he memes. In fact, I sent that meme to the guy who's trying to get me to rebuild my walk. It's like, you want me to walk like Roy Williams?
That's really funny. Oh, yeah. That's,
I've got to bend my knees more. Yeah, they look the same. Yeah, they all look. If you couldn't tell these, like, they're all reading for the same part.
They're all in the room. They're all in the room. They know each other.
The owner of the Reds, the Raiders right there. He's the son of Al Davis.
Oh, no.
So he's nepotism case.
Oh, no.
To call him a nepotism case is kind. I mean, it's unbelievable. Also, he looks like Tommy, who used to manage the Comedy Store.
Yeah, he does.
Same eyes, but a smile.
So they just, I mean, there's not even, like, even if you took, the NFL could take care, or at least to some degree, all of the players that have been in the NFL. There's not that many.
Well, that's the funny thing is, like, the amount of guys that have played in the NBA is like 3,000. It's like so
NFL,
not
a, NBA same.
Yeah, well,
like roughly the same or no?
The NFL has more bigger teams, so there's probably more. But it's okay. Probably, I don't know, 10,000, 12,000.
Yeah, it's not that many people who can say they played for this.
Yeah,
organization.
So Will's hitting it with a really nice search. Mm, mm, mm. 26,000 players of all time, ever.
That's nothing,
ever.
And
ever,
that's
ever,
a lot
ever,
of them
ever.
Are dead.
Yep, thanks to football. Yeah. Thanks to what they, when they suited up. Yeah, like they're all. So it's 23,000. That's an old one. So yeah, 6,000 have died. So that's back from 2014. There were 17,000 still alive. So it's just like they're cartoon rich white guys and they don't, it's like they also won't build a stadium unless taxpayers pay for it. They will do the worst possible thing. Like, look at that group of guys. Mm. It's just not like a
no.
nice group, and some of those are not owners. Mm. But
wish
yeah.
Fate, okay. Yeah. So just low bar. What about, does it change with basketball and baseball and all that stuff, or no? Not really.
Yeah, not really. I mean, basketball players are starting to own teams, so that's cool. Dwayne Wade, Shaq owns part of Sacramento. Dwayne Wade just got a part of Phoenix. Grant Hill, I believe. Look at Grant Hill Hawks. Yeah. So Grant Hill's part of that. And told me how much he put in.
Good chunk.
Yeah, not nothing. Not like not nothing.
Not for nothing.
Good dude. Was that the Mark Twain thing?
Oh. You didn't say hi to me.
That's odd. So I'm weird. Sorry. I'm sorry that happened to you. So anyhow, yeah. So race norming.
Gross.
Good try.
And weird.
Good try. You were gross. Rest in power, King. Moving on. Still the best way to say goodbye to somebody.
It is.
Cat Williams.
What happened?
Mainstay of he was on the Joe Budden podcast. I don't know if we can use it, but
if you ask all of the people that didn't make it to the NBA, if you ask them if we just lowered the goal down another foot, they all tell you they make it. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes the out of bounds, but the out of bounds got to be there or you'll run up in the stands, right? Mm. So some of these things are for the benefit of everything. Nobody likes the speed limit, but it's necessary. Nobody likes the shoulder of the road, but it's there for a reason. Mm-hmm. My point is, people weren't all that extremely funny back when they could say whatever they wanted to say. At the end of the day, there's no cancel culture. Cancellation doesn't have its own culture. That was people of color. That was us policing our own culture. That was people without a voice being trashed by people just because they had a bigger name than them and more money than them and a better office than them. They could sweep them up under the rug like they didn't matter. I don't know what people we think got canceled.
That's the point, man. As a guy who's making a thing about this, but Kevin Hart lost the Oscars, or stepped down from the Oscars, didn't get fired, made it so uncomfortable that he didn't want to host anymore. Mm. Nobody's, as cats, who's gotten canceled for real?
Right.
And then, which leads me to my next thought, which is, being a comedian is the only job you can say anything. It's like, I talked to Ian Edwards about it. I was like, dude, think about the shit you say in the first 5 minutes of your act. You would be fired from every single job on earth, right, other than comedian. So not only are we not under attack, we're like kind of cherished in a weird way to say things that are not.
Especially this day and age, people are big fans of comedians, bigger, yes, than they were like, let's say 10 years ago, you know. And
that's the other thing. It's like, yeah, with great money comes great. You just have to, if you're going to do arenas, you're going to be on the cover of the thing that Eddie and Dice had in common when they were both, is they were doing arenas.
Right.
It's kind of the cost of doing arenas. It's like Kev was doing arenas. Once you do arenas, then people will hold you to this other thing. And you can either apologize, whatever, however you want to handle it. But that's my favorite Cat Williams point since Michael Jackson being a pedophile, finally speaking some sense.
I just think I think cancel culture has always been around. I don't know why we're labeling it something new. I think when it came to Me Too, that was a new thing, mm-hmm, of corporations essentially and like governments being like, cool, let's maybe believe some of this more than we have. Same thing with like BLM now. It's just more, everyone's more on board. The more favorable thing to do is maybe believe this person as opposed to write it off.
Right.
That's kind
not
of
automatic dismissal.
Right. That's kind of as much as the needles move. We think it's more because we're all cued into like hashtags and celebrities and yeah. Like, oh my God. But it's like when people get mad at us, sometimes I feel like, oh my God, all these people are mad at me. But there's like, it's four people. It's four people.
Yeah.
It's four people who wrote me in a similar time frame.
Right. And it's four people. It's also me and Kat, we're talking about it. They're trained to do it.
Yeah.
They're trained to, they're on a platform, Twitter, Facebook,
yeah.
Instagram, whatever, TikTok, that incentivizes them to go like Bianca's fucked up or Reddit or wherever they do right. it. So they don't actually care.
No, no one is thinking about me the moment they like something jars their yeah. attention and they're like, oh, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
And they get their person, they leave. No one is still thinking about me. So, I mean, I'm just using me as an example. It's not that dramatic, but it's always been around. And like before there was a common thing, there was just, I don't know, how was it when Kramer got canceled? Like how was that in comedy?
What do you mean?
You know, when he was like, nagger.
Yeah, yeah.
At the Laugh Factory, what was the fallout? Because that was kind of before this sort of shit. Like, what was that for a comic in the scene?
That was kind of the opening shot.
He
got canceled for sure.
For sure. But how did it play out without?
The question is, how popular was he before that?
Right. But I'm wondering,
as a comedian,
how did him being canceled play out?
Facilitation platforms had just been built. One of them, camera phones, was 2008.
Right.
Camera phones started 07, 08.
Right.
It's the first camera phone, Karen, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And it was TMZ, which was the
right.
cancellation platform of the 2000s. So... And then Twitter was nascent, and I'm sure it got some traction. But so it was like,
would you still say hi? Like, were people? Did he come to the club?
He
still?
Didn't. Well, the funny thing is, the Laugh Factory said they banned him. It happened on Friday night.
Right.
He did the Saturday night show.
Lies.
Or so I've been told. I don't know if it's true.
Right.
So. It wasn't, I think it was probably just like, that was weird.
Right.
And then once it became a video problem, it was like a real thing.
Right. But I just think, you know, we have always had this canceling. Like, if you think about it, the farther back you go, you did one wrong thing. You're a witch.
Yeah.
Die. Or, you know, no, you shouldn't have this.
Yeah.
You have a bastard son. You can't be here.
Madonna's like, a whore. Monica Lewinsky's a whore. Like, there's the right wing's been doing it for as long as anybody. And the thing that comes to mind is Joe Rogan and Mencia.
I know, with Red Band's video.
Yeah. Joe kind of canceled Carlos.
Joe canceled Carlos inside baseball. Joe did not cancel Carlos.
Sure he did.
He still had mind of Mencia.
They couldn't cancel it immediately.
No, of course. But
he went from doing theaters to clubs, like,
really?
Yeah, he was really diminished, like greatly diminished.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like he really, I mean, but that's a righteous cancellation if you get a guy for stealing jokes and he admits it, like,
right? I just mean like that, I felt like that was for comedy heads more than
it was,
it made ripples, and
it had huge ripple effect.
Really
huge, because if you're Comedy Central, you can't really promote a guy that's admitted joke thief.
But do you think Mencia was a situation where he was canceled in the, like, in the behind the scenes version and not by a whole, like, people? You think
if
fans,
he could still do theaters, he'd be doing theaters. They're
so
not,
you think that fans
not,
went with him?
Yeah, they're booking him into clubs because that's the amount of demand that he has.
Wild.
No, I know. It's very, like, it's a one I forget. But I don't think that's what Kat's talking about. Kat's talking about this idea that comedians are being, you know, pilloried for saying crazy shit. It's like Dave gets the occasional article and then just talks about it a bunch.
No.
So it seems
comedians can say
like,
what they want. They're getting canceled. Like, also, we're not talking about a lot of comedians that are getting canceled for behavior outside of comedy.
Right. Yeah. That's
so
a
it's
different
like,
thing.
Yeah, it happens to be with comedians.
Yeah, their job happens to be comedian, but it wasn't because of D'Elia's joke about Germans or whatever.
Or the orange tree.
Yeah.
But what about when, like, what happened to Tony or stuff like that? Like, when it's about your joke.
Oh, with Tony saying, I don't know. I mean,
that's the thing. I don't know.
Tony Hinchcliffe called a MC a derogatory Asian slang term. And the guy posted it, and Tony got dropped by his agents,
I guess.
But I
also don't think Tony's that canceled either. You know what I mean?
It didn't affect his viewers at all. It didn't affect – no one's not watching Kill Tony now because of that. They were just like, oh, I didn't know you were doing this show. I didn't know you were in Austin. Shit, you should have told me, Tony. Right.
I think, yeah, it's hard to really cancel someone truly without – just
for a joke. Well, the kid didn't get SNL. What's his name?
Oh yeah, but that's
you know, well, that's damn again, cancel, damn it, canceling is shaming somebody and depriving them of opportunities. So I guess occasionally people do get canceled.
I do think though a lot of cancellations can be mitigated by I don't know, do you think apologies work? Or do you think people like,
No. People like crossing their arms. It's more satisfying to cross your arms than to be, give someone grace.
Yeah.
You don't get clicks from being grace, from giving someone grace. Mm. You get it from flaming them. and then there's also the thing where like Shane Gillis, I think probably makes, I've been talking to Kat about you and I, and then Roy and Trayvon about some it, as we never, if we say something illiberal, we lose liberals and gain no conservatives.
Right.
So it's not thankless, but it's like we get penalized for mistakes, but we don't get rewarded for them. Whereas a guy like Shane Gillis was like center right anyway.
Right.
So he gets called racist by a bunch of liberals. And then
they're like,
conservatives are like, come on, man.
Come on, man.
We don't like them anyway. And so that, whereas you and I as liberals just get nothing. We get penalized, but no reward. And right. It's got to end.
It's got to end. Well, that's a good segue.
Yes. Talk about it.
There was a study that said,
see the story?
No. I haven't. Yeah. I just forgot to write. they did a national study, and it said that conservatives are more susceptible to believing falsehoods. But the way they did the study was interesting, is that they took, so liberals and conservatives both believe false stories that favored their side politically. Both of them can call out politically neutral stories that don't favor their side. Everybody calls out the falsehoods equally. Like, everyone's like, yeah, no, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. If it doesn't benefit them politically. The reason why it's slanted towards conservatives is because, with just boiling it down, it's literally because, one, there's way more misinformation that is beneficial to the conservative political viewpoint. There's just more misinformation.
Right.
And, I mean, in layman's terms, when I read the article, the liberals' viewpoint is just more truthful.
Yeah, I mean that doesn't surprise me. It's
just that.
Of course, we think that because we're liberals.
No. This person, I don't know. He just did a independent study.
Yeah, I just, as a liberal, it's hard to go like, well, our side.
No, of course, to be like, well, and we were more truthful. It was just things that he was saying that like were demonstrably untruths, like absolutely did not happen at all. But if it benefited a conservative's political viewpoint, then it was like, yeah, nope, that's the truth, you know? So,
yeah.
And there was just more of that. And there's just more misinformation out there in the,
conservative.
So the environment is just chock full of more.
It's a swamp.
It's gross.
Yeah. It's a swamp.
It made me feel like no way to solve this. How do you solve it? There's no way to solve that.
Institutionally, I don't know how you solve it because it's as I've said on here before, it's a skinny mirror. So they're just going to find the skinny mirror. If you're at a store,
so you're driving along.
And if you're at a store and they have a skinny mirror and you're trying clothes on, you're going to go to the skinny mirror.
Right. You're going to be like, I look really good
and
here.
And then they move, if they move the mirror, you're just going to go, this mirror is broken. And they're going to find the skinny mirror. And that's what's going to happen with conservative lies and liberal lies. Like, you'll just find where it's...
Both actually believed their lies similarly. It's just there's more lies than conservative. That's all really it is.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's not that liberals are more honorable. It's just there's less lies.
Opportunities, yeah.
There's just less opportunity to believe lies.
Yeah.
Which is... It was just a bummer.
Yeah, it's a very hard problem to solve. Even with the documentary with cancel culture stuff, it's like, the conclusion is just hard. It's like we need a ideological cleanse.
Yeah,
and then it's going to be up to like, okay, you go first. Who's going to go first? Because there's advantages to just playing the cancel game.
Have you looked into the history? Because obviously, you know, when this has happened in the past, when people are just so ideologically divided, what's happened? Like, you can go back in time with, I don't know, Bible stuff.
Yes.
Like,
there's a very interesting podcast about, it's called What Up Holmes, which is an aggravating title. I believe it's Radiolab, but it's about Oliver Wendell Holmes. You used to not be able to publicly speak out against war in America.
What?
And then
it
went back to the Supreme Court, and Oliver Wendell Holmes overturned it because there should be free speech.
Right.
But you couldn't, there was no free speech about war, which is a pretty big one.
Right. And if you think about it, just because he overturned it doesn't mean it was popular to talk bad about war.
Right. Sure, but the only reason he, basically young people got to him. Mm. And I think it was his experience. He was in World War One, or there was a war he was in, and he was like, don't talk bad about it. He didn't like that people talk bad about the war because he was in it.
Right.
And then young people got to him and sort of was like, yeah, you should let this, so whatever. It's interesting. Anyhow, what about the drug charges?
Oh, I was just going to say I was reading about restorative justice and all that stuff. And I didn't realize 78% of drug charges in this country are for a gram or less.
78, Jesus Christ.
Are for less than a gram.
Which is like an orthodontist rubber band bag, right?
Right.
Like the classic.
Right, just the little, trace amounts. And then...
78% are a fun night or less.
And then 70% of drug charges are just weed. So that's not a lot of weed.
It's not. It's barely enough to get you high. I know. Yeah, it's insane.
It's insane.
It's wild.
And of course, I mean, all the players are there, slanted against black people.
Crack, same.
Crack.
Over 50%, less than a gram.
Almost never is it over a kilogram. It's never the big players of it. It's just the local guys.
Wow. It's all, weed's less than 50%, less than a gram, but they should, I hope that they get out soon, all those people.
Do you think that's actually going to happen?
I don't know. I mean, it should. I did a joke that the mistake they made is they shouldn't have called themselves weed dealers and they should have called themselves cannabis entrepreneurs. White people like that a lot and talk about CBD
and medicine.
Good job.
That's about the only one. Yeah, no, that's a good weed song.
That was a good weed song.
Yeah.
That sounds more weed.
Yep. Skunk weed, let's be clear. Not good weed.
Bammer.
Yeah. Clarence Williams III, rest in power, king. Or, as I wrote on here, rest Cuban B.
Cuban
He's the guy B. who said Cuban B.
It's so funny. Did he make that up?
Didn't I tell
the
story?
Yeah, you did.
That me and Dave were smoking or something, fucking around, and they had started rehearsal without us.
Yeah, and you were like...
Like, all right, you want to get... ask the writers and the star? It's no big deal. And then Clarence was irritated and said... Guillermo said, I'm Cuban B. And he goes, yes, Cuban B. Hilarious. So insane. Mm. And...
A Dave Chappelle story.
So that guy was great.
He was great, and I loved him in Tales in the Hood.
Tales in the Hood, he's fucking fantastic.
Tales in the Hood is
Tales
so
in the Hood is a hidden gem.
It's who? It's like
Rusty
it's
so Condit, good. The guy who directed a bunch of Chappelle Show shit, directed that movie.
No.
Yeah.
Rusty.
In fact, you know what? You want to hear an old man?
Come
Went
on.
To the premiere.
The premiere of Tales
from the Hood.
From the Hood, it would have been fun as
mm-hmm.
hell.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Oh, I love the. I love
There's also the term that Don Johnson uses in this movie that
boy
that,
must have had weak bones.
No,
that's my favorite.
It's for the tiny black people that.
Yeah. Nigglets.
There you go. That's the one.
I can quote the whole thing. It's a very. It's just good. It's frightening. All the stories.
Yeah, that's
are
one of
really
those things
scary.
Where like I don't under. That's like some racist shit where. Rusty didn't get a bigger bump from that.
It's all of the stories. First of all, it's
just
hard to
so
do.
Fucking weird. Like he had done Fear of a Black Hat and that within 3 years of each other.
All
he did Sprung, which I guess bombed. But two out of three, like respectable movies.
It was. It's really hard to make scary movies. It's just that interesting. They were interesting. They like I guess the dudes that are kind of like the. Chorus for the they just like the in between. It's almost like Tales from the Crypt. The Crypt Keeper tells you little vignettes.
Yep.
Whatever. They're all so good. They're so scary. The little you know slaves that come off the that one is the scariest one. I'm like,
I mean, can you imagine living slaves? So terrifying.
This is like, did Jordan Peele that one? I feel like was a Jordan Peele.
Jordan should. Boot this with Rusty, I feel like.
And starring Binky.
There you go.
But no, really, the fact that it's not widely
It's weird because it to me it was a good movie. I guess it didn't. Its budget, it made 11.8, which is kind of what Half Baked made.
Yeah.
Look at
Half Baked. If you like horror, watch Tales from the Hood. It's very good.
What did Half Baked make?
17.5.
$8 million budget, to which Darren Aronofsky said, where did it all go?
Oh, rude.
So, you know, pretty rude, but you know, it's a fair shot.
That's funny. Is he has any clunkers?
Darren? He's got a lot of clunkers. He has like Black Swan and Aronofsky. Killers.
Black Swan Killers. Go down. What? No, Neil. I mean.
He's got Pie, Requiem for a Dream. The Fountain was a stinker.
The Fountain was not good.
The Wrestler was a hit. Black Swan was a hit. Noah was a stinker. Mother was a stinker.
Mother was not good.
Didn't see. Rock loves Mother. Never watched it.
He's not so bad.
Darren's a great director.
Oh, no. I love Darren Aronofsky, but it just, his batting average is pretty good.
Yeah. That means the end of the story.
Hey,
anybody see the story?
Jeff Bezos, I believe, is going to space on his rocket.
Hey, anybody see this?
No, why?
He's going on the first crewed flight.
Who wants to be the first of things? I don't get that.
A guy with a death wish.
Stupid.
Is he trying to like out weird, out bad idea Elon Musk? Let's have an Asperger's competition.
Oh no.
Ever since I was 5 years old, I've dreamed of traveling to space. Yeah, this is what I want to say when people bring up their childhood dreams. Children are fucking dumb. So when they go, I've since I was this small. Yeah. And then you grow up and you go, that's dangerous.
Have you, was there something you wanted to do? And then you,
I mentioned this the other day. At some point I was, me and a buddy of mine were going to split a Trans Am. When we got older, we were going to get a Trans Am.
Split.
And we're going to split it. We're going to co, we're going to co-own it. That's a dumb idea. But that's how a child thinks.
Yeah.
I did say that I wanted to have a job where I could wear sneakers.
Wow.
Which, dream, you know, I knew that if that meant being an athlete or whatever the fuck this is, whatever I've turned into here.
I wanted, when I was a kid, I said, I'm going to have a water fountain in my house that was served orange juice.
Orange juice.
Orange juice.
High C?
I say orange juice, motherfucker.
By the way, side note that I'm going to need some help with.
Come on.
I bought my first bag of oranges in the all the time I've lived in LA.
Like a million Tijuana oranges or just from the store?
No. A million Tijuana oranges.
Oh,
I don't even know what that means. That, oh. Was that, I know the movie.
You know the movie.
Paul Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Is an orange seller?
He's a like a Mexican dude that sells oranges. Like bags of oranges.
Yeah. Way.
And then somebody gives him $1 million check. And
an 80s movie ensues?
It's a 90s movie. 90s yeah, movie yeah, yeah.
Jeff Bezos is going to travel with his brother Mark.
Wait, hold on. Wait.
Oh, I bought a bag of oranges. I've $10 and I swear to God, it's probably 35 oranges.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's, by the way, Kat took 5 of them and I've had 2 of them. So,
oh, you're going to.
So many oranges.
Will, that's our cue.
I need help, guys. I need to stop down right now and have you guys.
Well,
help me.
Maybe the oranges is why you're sniffling in the first place.
I'm the first person to get a cold from oranges. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense to anybody?
I don't know. Maybe they aren't good. You know what's funny? I bought a bag of oranges from some amigos and they were like, I'm like, well, I don't know. You know, they're like, you want to taste? I'm like, yeah, sure. Tasted like a juicy,
well, yeah,
juicy fruit.
They gave you the floor model.
And then when I took them inside, all of them were rotted, but the non-rotted side was facing out.
They went overboard with that.
For $5. I'm like, word. So they bought an orange from Whole Foods.
Well, yeah, that's what it's like. It's like 38 oranges probably for $10. And it's so like, now, are they stolen oranges?
Are they good though? Because those ones were dry.
They were good.
They're good.
Yeah. The one that I had were good. The one Kat had was good.
Okay.
It's pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting. I think it's about time we go behind a paywall for stuff like that. So Jeff Bezos is going to space and he's bringing his brother Mark with him. Now,
what?
He's half right there, which is send your brother to space.
Right.
That's one of those things where you go, you know what, Mark? You're my brother. Just check it out for me. Report back. If you come back safe, then it's good.
Do people not realize how confined space is? I'm so claustrophobic. I'd never be able to do it. Are you claustrophobic?
I bet he's thought it through. I'm not especially claustrophobic. In fact, I like a cocoon, as you know from.
Oh yeah.
Ayahuasca when I went into my little.
Yeah, you went into a which was weird. I didn't understand how you know what, you guys?
Folded
Neil folds.
Up. I'm
Neil folds.
If you scroll up, Will, he gave a quote, which is, Bezos predicted that he would be a new man after his journey to space. It changes your relationship with this planet, with humanity. It's one Earth. I want to go on this flight because it's the thing I've wanted to do all my life.
Well, no, he's not wrong there, because there is this syndrome that happens to people who go to space. I forgot what it's called, but it basically, when you see the
space syndrome,
space legs.
Basically,
astronauts were saying that when you see
space face, is it space face?
When you see the sun setting and rising a million times, and you see like storms over here and this over there, and you just see it all as a whole in one view. You can see our whole Earth, and it's only protected by this tiny layer mm-hmm. of atmosphere. You feel so less connected to, you know, fuck Trump.
Yeah.
You're just like, no, man, you don't get it.
Yeah.
The mountains and the moon. It's so
weird.
Hard to
he
come
could
back
just
to.
Do ayahuasca, A, if he wanted that.
Jeff,
of course, you know my door is always open. And secondly, yeah, all right, good. I mean, fuck it. If this is what it's going to take for him to start doing more environmentally
nice
friendly
things?
And
okay.
And friendly to workers, and if this is what it takes, and then when you're done with that, take the NFL owners. Right. One at a time, and then we'll go one at a time. Doc Watch.
Oh wait, I had a.
Oh yeah, no, you ever hear the story?
Okay, Neil, I need your help with my anybody hear these stories. Okay, so one, this is all basketball related. I don't get them, but people are talking about them. Why are people making fun of LeBron? What's going on with the Lakers? Why are people saying
they always make fun of LeBron?
But what's going on with the Lakers that they're saying, you know, like they're losing so bad or?
They lost their series. They got exited out of the first round.
Is that a big deal?
It's fine. I mean, again, think of it as checkers. And you'll be fine. It's a lot less
important. Because it just dominates my feed. I'm like, what?
You must have searched for him one too many times.
One too many times. And then the other one is Kevin Garnett. Got mad.
That's very stupid.
What? Can you explain?
Because Kyrie Irving used to play for the Boston Celtics and didn't enjoy it. And then when he went to he stomped their logo.
Wait, what do you mean? He just walked on it?
It's just the most childish thing you can think of. He just like rubbed his foot in it.
That's so funny.
And it's very embarrassing. It's like so childish.
Okay,
after
here we
the
go.
Game.
Walking up to the logo.
Yeah, rubbed his foot on it. Scratched his foot. Do you catch that?
Also, then very hard to even see.
Like, then I heard he gave the toilets an upper decker. And then I heard he put. It's like, it's so corny. They gave you $38 million, dude. Right. Like, it's their corporation. It's like being loyal to fucking Apple or Microsoft.
Right.
It's like guys who have Nike tattoos or Jordan tattoos.
Right.
Just like, oh, you corny motherfucker.
Right.
Blake texted me about doing a sketch about it.
About what? Just the
about,
Nike tattoo?
About Kyrie.
Why did Kevin Garnett get mad?
Because he played for the Celtics.
So it's all corny on both sides.
It's corny. It's quadruple corny.
Quadruple corny.
It's a corny. It's a gangbang corniness.
For someone who loves sports so much, sports are very corny, and you don't like a lot of corny shit.
I don't. I like basketball.
That's what I'm saying. But basketball's corny.
It's not inherently corny. Stuff like that's corny. Right. But that's not really. That's not basketball to me.
Oh, okay.
My basketball name is Sharon the Ball. It's jazz, Bianca. I love when people call it jazz. They're improv-ing out there. No, it's not jazz. It's jazz is with trumpets and stuff. Also, jazz needs to get funded by the government. So
right.
It's another difference between basketball's popular. That's why it's not like jazz. Anyhow, sorry, shout out to Jazz. Rest in power, King.
No.
So it's just like corny, just corny shit.
Yeah.
Just corny top to bottom.
Write it off, not a big deal.
Just don't even pay attention. Okay, sorry you had to see that.
Sorry, thank you.
Basketball is jazz.
I bring you all my sports situations. But
yeah, it's fine. You came to the right place. It's a safe space.
Thank you.
Doc Watch.
I only date women. It's my favorite thing.
Life is either going
to stream. I'm not even done with this, and it's so good. Hulu. Oh. It was a big documentary called Some Kind of Heaven. I think if Sundance had happened, it would have won.
Whoa, what's it about? What's it about?
It's about, you know, those retirement. You know, there's like during the election, there was a lot of people at a place in Florida. That were on golf carts that were like yelling about Trump.
Yeah, Hollywood.
It's called the
Florida. Villages. Oh, is it in Hollywood?
It's maybe near Hollywood. Mm. But it's a retirement community called the Villages, and they just produced by Darren Aronofsky, Small World.
Oh wow!
The man who shat on the budget of Half Baked.
The man who shat.
Guys, it's all coming together. Do you see the connections? It's jazz.
It's jazz.
Lance Oppenheim. I like how most documentary directors kind of sound like they come from money. Like Oppenheim?
Oppenheim. Huh. Drop the er.
Yeah. It's great. It's really, it's sort of portraiture of people, and it covers maybe six or seven people and just cuts. It's like sort of covers how expansive the retirement community is, because it's like they have classes, they have movie theater, it's like a campus.
But
and
what's
golf course?
What's going on this campus?
There's fucking weird people there.
Really?
There's like a guy, an old guy who's doing like tons of drugs. He's kind of losing his mind. He goes to court. He gets busted with like less than a gram of weed. Mm. The judge is like, you're the rudest person I've ever had in my courtroom, but he's just out of his mind. Like, and his wife, who's been married to him for 47 years, is trying to like ride with him, but he's fucking losing his mind.
Yeah.
Shit like that. It's the people are way quirkier than it. I thought it would just be like about a retirement community. It's about a bunch of fucking weirdos.
And you like it?
Of course.
Yeah.
It's a newly single woman.
Ooh, okay.
And she dates a guy who calls himself.
Is there a lot of fucking?
There will be, I think, at some point. There's a guy. She goes on a date with the guy who sold her golf cart. Like,
cute.
Yeah, but it's the guy's like, they call him Margarita Man.
No, no.
And he's like super into Jimmy Buffett. It's just a bunch of quirk.
Oh my God.
It's a quirk fest. So I'm not even done. I suggest watching it.
Okay.
Now, we got a lot of video questions this week. It's time to check that email.
Hey, Neil and Bianca. Mostly Thursday listener here because I like to see you guys. Neil, question about being a comedian. A couple podcasts ago, you mentioned not going to a roast basically because you didn't want to get roasted. And I was wondering about that. From listening to this podcast and other podcasts with comedians, Comedians Together seems amazing. You're always on. You're always sharp. You're always roasting each other. But does that get exhausting? Do you need a break from it? Or is that your natural setting? Bianca, because you work with and hang out with comedians, do you find you need a break? Or is hanging out with comedians like the top tier group? Is that the best? Anyway, hope those questions make sense. Thanks for doing the podcast every week, guys.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
I would like to do ayahuasca around her.
You would?
She's like
calming. I just get good energy, yeah.
Yeah.
Being around comedians is fucking hilarious. I don't mind. The reason I don't go to roast is because it's people that I'm not friends with shitting on me. Do you know what I mean? Like, some of them. Yes. Right. It's not ones I'm friends with that I'm worried about.
Yes. Okay. I guess.
It's the ones I'm not friends with.
Right.
Taking a shot at me. Like where Patrice at his last roast, where he's like, who the fuck? He was just kind of like, what are you talking about?
Who the fuck are you?
I'm going to die.
Right.
Like what?
That's the one thing about the roasts that are a little, it's more fun when it's just friends roasting.
Yeah. Like if a bunch of people that I'm friends with want to make fun of me. Yeah. And also the great thing about being friends with great comedians is like the most powerful microscope in the world looks at you and it's like, well, it's like just fucking funny.
Yeah.
Like, Chappelle said a joke that's only funny to my family, but it's from Dave, so it's like
a Dave Chappelle
priceless heirloom.
Yeah, it's a little gift.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like a, you know what I mean? Like, so that's the shit. Or if I make fun of, it's like if Chris makes, if we like make fun of each other, it's fucking, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
It's like Ted Williams took a swing at, hit my head with a baseball bat. I'm on. It's an honor.
Yeah. Okay.
But some bum, some fucking open mic, I'll kill you.
Some
I'll
bump?
Fucking kill you.
Right. To be around no, it's great. It's great. Also, I know when you have to also know how to play with comedians. Some people, this is one of a few ways. Some people think they have to participate. You don't. Shut up and listen to funny people. It's so easy to just be an audience member. Some people feel like, oh yeah, like, you know, we're not all hear, like, they're so funny. Why would I interject? So I like listening. I like being part of the crowd when it's just these great comedians. Well, I don't have no desire to speak up. So some people kind of get nervous or.
Right. Or they want to get their shot in.
That's what I'm saying. They feel like, and it's like, just know.
Dog, now, why are you wasting this?
Exactly.
Let it happen.
I mean, I was one time, I was working on a thing with Miguel Nunez, and it was Miguel, Eddie, and Arsenio.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my friend. And I cannot explain to you how funny it was. It was the funniest thing I've ever heard. And they were just roasting each other. Like, someone walked up and asked a question, and it was like an hour of jokes.
Mm-hmm.
It was so funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like, why would I be like, and then one time I said.
Well, because people's natural inclination is like, I couldn't get a word in edgewise. Well, all right. How good were the other words? Probably pretty good words.
Pretty good
words. People that get paid to these arena acts weren't talking over me.
Yeah, and then some people walk away being like, that guy wasn't super friendly. Were you being annoying and trying to butt in?
Right.
Or was he just all of a sudden
being... Well, also, by the way, it's a private conversation.
It is. You happen to be privy to, but right now.
For the most part, yeah.
It's not about me and how I relate in. I think when I walked with you and Dave around D.C. was one of my most favorite moments. And I think when I ran into you guys in the Bay, too.
Yeah.
You guys were just, it just was funny and fun. And the energy, because you two know each other so well, the energy was easy.
Yeah.
So it's easy to just mix in. If you have the right disposition, some people bomb. Some people get nervous and they bomb. Like, they see famous people and they're like, my cousin worked on, you know.
Yeah.
So just be cool. Just be cool.
Now, I will say comedians... Not they can be a little selfish, not a little selfish, a lot selfish. That's the downside. That's the downside of friendships with comedians. You're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's like if I'm
going to the hardware store for oranges. That's
Goodbye. You've got mail.
You would date this girl.
Hey, Neil, Bianca. Day one feeler here. I'm reaching out to you to see if I can get some feedback about the current situation that I am in here in Taipei, Taiwan. We are going through our first lockdown since the beginning of the COVID pandemic, and I am a teacher here. I'm not a teacher by trade. I came here for a year to see the world. I love Asian culture and to experience something different. Also, I was running from the COVID pandemic in the United States.
Coward.
Before these past few weeks, COVID was
Taiwan
relatively
was not even touched,
non-existent here in this country. Everything was open. It was status quo. Now we are in level 3 lockdown where I am required to do Zoom calls with my students. And it's something that I'm not familiar with, not the most comfortable with in this type of setting. I can do Zoom calls with clients, adults. But the best part about this was teaching kids in person and that entire experience. So my question to you is, do I bail? Do I dip set and go back to the U.S., back to LA?
Speaking Neil's language.
Or do I stick it out for the next 6 months and finish out my contract? Do I continue keep running from COVID?
Or what are you running from?
What are you so afraid of?
How do you feel?
Why won't you allow yourself to get a fever?
You would go on a date with her.
I would go on a date with her. I also liked her vocal pitch.
She has she has a sexy voice and very nice eyebrows.
That's a girl. Hi. Only girls notice
but
that.
You are affected by them, but I notice them.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Oh, thank you. I didn't know why I wanted to
date
her. It's also a testament to why good-looking people, that question should have been half the length because she's
it was
because
she was like
and you know it's funny it's kind of cold in here
you know what I mean
yeah. Anyways, she's very good looking.
She's very cute.
Kylie Jenner had to get a lot of surgery to look like that.
Yeah, and she looks better still.
Yeah, of course.
The better voice.
Well, she's my girlfriend. so She didn't explain. I'm assuming she's half Taiwanese.
Don't assume that. She ran.
But you can't just run to Taiwan. They weren't letting people in.
Well, I don't know.
I think she's half Taiwanese.
She probably is.
Or as, as China calls it, half Chinese.
Okay. Because they,
you know why. That's a tough one.
Okay, here's the deal. I'm going to tell her. My friend who had to do, one of my best friends is a fourth grade teacher in San Francisco. And she had to do all of this year remote. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard for teachers. Like, yeah. She was pretty depressed. She doesn't cry a lot. And it was really hard. And she, when it was safe enough at some point when we were allowed out, or when they were allowed out in SF, the teachers got together and they just all cried.
Yeah, I believe that.
Like, they just drank and cried.
Yeah.
And it was extremely hard to connect. I think it's just a lost year. So I feel like she should knuckle down and stick with it. She got a really good deal.
Yeah,
so
you still, even if you have to do 6 months in Taiwan, that's still a better deal than you would have gotten here.
Way better. So
and you made a commitment, and your words gotta mean something. As my girlfriend, you're representing both of us. And I don't want that reputation on the street. How do we feel about Dipset?
I mean, it made your heart go.
I didn't love it. Yeah. I thought it was misappropriated. I don't think it was appropriate. Like, I thought it was misappropriated.
Interesting. You only like it when
I've
you
never
do
heard
it
used. I'm gonna dip. I've never heard someone say I'm gonna dip set.
She's a youngin.
I don't know. Yeah, but that doesn't mean, just because she's young doesn't mean she knows that she's using Dipset correctly.
You I've would use never Dipset. Heard a person, you use equivalent.
I've never
things.
Said I'm gonna Dipset.
No, but you use similar things. Bounce. You said bounce earlier.
Bounce is like I was.
You said bounce.
Yes. Intentionally.
And Neil is a wigger. That's so good. I don't know. I don't know. I think she should stick it out because she's got a good deal so far.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay.
Thanks. Goodbye. You've got
hey,
mail.
Hey, Neil and Bianca. Love the pod. So my question is, last year I moved back from the Bay Area to my home in India because I was laid off during COVID. And I have lived in America for 8 years, and it's been hard to be back. It kind of sucks. And I miss small and stupid things like Trader Joe's and stuff, and how immigration is set up for us. The only way to come back is to go for a PhD. And I don't know if that's the right decision, considering it's a lot of work and I'm already pushing 30. So yeah, let me know if you think it's worth the gamble. Thanks, love the show.
Hey.
So you could come back to America.
But she has to do her PhD, and she's been studying this whole time, and she's almost 30.
Yeah. It just depends on how much you miss it. Also, PhD is what, 2-3 years?
Trader Joe's is good.
I mean, Trader Joe's is pretty good.
I think it depends. Do you want to live here? If you want to live here, then come back. Because, you know, you never know what happens in like 2-3 years. Just take.
Yes. Come back. Come on back. Come on back. I mean, it seems like.
Come on back.
She's getting a master's probably. So, like.
Yeah.
What's another 3 years?
What's another thing?
Hit it.
Goodbye. You've got mail.
Hey, Neil and Bianca. The difference between Whitney Houston and Demi Lovato is that Whitney actually tried to be artistic with her music. Demi Lovato is not interesting because they have no artistic value. This is why their coming out as non-binary is not interesting, and announcing it seems like an attention grab. I would love to hear both of your thoughts on the artistic value of popular music today. Love the podcast. Thank you.
My point was that their PR is being handled differently as drug users.
Right. Yeah, I wasn't not interested in Demi Lovato inherently. And by the way, Demi Lovato, as I said on the podcast, has a fucking incredible voice.
I like some of her songs.
And I don't think pop songs make something irredeemable. Right. Like, I don't think it's like automatically you're not serious. Because Michael Jackson made nothing but pop songs and was it considered a real artist? Like, who? So just D'Angelo?
No, I think he's saying that like pop stars, she's more manufactured and they had more. I think the law goes into all that shit.
I don't know. I also don't think Whitney Houston was any more of an artist than Demi Lovato.
Yeah, she's a better artist.
Yeah, she didn't write any of the songs. No, does Demi Lovato write her songs?
No one writes their songs.
Demi Lovato might be smart enough to steal co-writing.
She has a team.
She's taking an active role.
I'm sure Whitney has writing credit. No,
she wrote. I don't think Whitney does, but let's look it up.
This is like when you're on a hit show long enough, you're like the EP.
But no, that's the guy, right. She wrote Count on Me, Waiting Count to Exhale, and Fine.
Those are hits.
Co-wrote, this is Demi Lovato again.
Four songs.
Yeah, that's so. And Demi Lovato co-wrote how many?
But I think there's
how many songs she wrote? A lot.
I think how many songs she wrote. I think the difference is though, like back when Whitney was doing it, I think it was just kind of more like, I feel like celebrities are way more savvy now. Like, no, give me points, put my name on it. Let me get my cousin's name. You know, they're just more.
Yeah. They always go, let me get my cousin on there.
Let me get my cousin on
there. What happens is they take credit and no points. I know a gigantic artist, singing artist, who when he or she is involved in writing a song or singing a song, because by singing it, by this person singing it, it makes it. It's not Levine, by the way, in case anyone's thinking.
Like, question in TV, when someone's on a hit show and then on the later seasons, they're now also
the EP. You're exactly right. No, it's the I'm a director.
Yeah,
I directed this season.
Some of the season.
Wow. Incredible.
That episode was actually directed by...
Yeah, you know, someone... I don't even want to say who I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think...
So Demi Lovato is, turns out, sir, more of an artist than Whitney Houston.
On paper.
So, well, I mean, she's less of a shill. You know what I mean? She's not just selling somebody else's words. She's writing her words. So, sir, you're at least wrong on one count.
What was his point again, though?
That Demi Lovato is not as artistic as Whitney Houston.
No. He's saying something about interesting.
Well, we're not as interested in them.
Okay.
But he's wrong. I'm not interested in her because I'm exhausted by it. Yeah. Which has nothing to do with her being an artist. Unless her art is... exhausting. In which case, she's the Picasso of exhausting me. Go ahead.
Goodbye. You've got mail.
Thank you for all these readings. Thank you for sending in audio and video. So much more interesting.
It's so much nicer.
So much better.
It's just better.
So I'm listening to your show, and you guys are on the question about Bianca always getting complimented on her beauty rather than like her intellect or her ability to make a good argument or whatever. And I think that something that's getting lost here is like, sure, to be clear, everybody loves both. Everybody likes to be complimented on what they look like. Everybody likes to be complimented on their, you know, intellect or whatever, or personality, what have you. But when you constantly get complimented on one, it sort of gives away what that person values about you. Like, Bianca's gorgeous, of course. And I'm sure she puts effort into that. But she also clearly puts a lot of effort into making a good argument and communicating her thoughts well. And, like, all of that work and, like, stuff that's genuinely impressive and like
there's a giant cobra behind her chasing her.
It's like sort of getting dismissed.
That's that noise.
Is anybody noticing that? Like, and if you are, why aren't you commenting on that? Anyway,
I
love your show.
Yeah, she's not saying anything. So what I'm saying is right, but what I'm saying is I shower. Do you know what I mean? I put my almond oils on. You know how long that takes? It takes 13 seconds.
Mm.
I would like to be. It's this thing of like, I don't know why, how I don't even think you feel that strongly, that aggrieved by it.
No, I feel exactly what I said, which is like in a, I think of it as way more like psychology. Just, this is how Neil feel. I'm a woman. I'm not saying anything like I'm a woman. I'm just saying that like people, it's a majority male listeners. People relate to me how you relate to me. Like, I think I'm really respected.
It's a sex object for my, for my bidding.
No, I think people, I think, you know, when there's the dumb fall guy on the podcast, people relate to the fall guy, like on Idiot Abroad or just whatever you absorb what we're giving you. You absorb the dynamic we're giving you.
But I don't think that people say you're beautiful. I don't think that's because mostly people listen to the podcast. So
no, I'm not saying because you only like put me up for my beauty. I'm saying that like, I'm saying that a lot of people come here
they don't
for your opinion. And then I'm here to like make it gel. And we work, obviously. I know you respect me and my opinion, but I think it's just a lot of the attention when they do have our attention for the little bit of time they do, which is in an email or a video or whatever, is geared towards you. That's all I'm saying. I don't think
it's just the beauty thing. And like, that's clearly what they value about you.
I don't think she's wrong.
She's wrong either. I just don't see why it's an aggrievement when you don't get called, told you're smart. But if I don't get told I'm pretty, people are fine with it. Well, no, but she's, because I'm making it about fairness. Meaning my point was I don't give a fuck that no one says I'm hot. Like I truly don't care. Mm. One bead of sweat comes down revealing the lie. Just quietly.
All his bronzer starts.
One time me and Mike Scher were pitching a movie. Bombing.
Okay.
Just bombing. Had been our third pitch of the day.
No.
And at one point I look over and Scher's talking and I just see one bead of sweat.
No. Were you so like, it's done?
I literally said in that pitch, we'll come back next year with something else. Like I cut it off. I was like, you know what? You're not buying it. We'll see you in a year. Like, why are we doing this?
But this isn't about comparing me to you. This is just about comparing me to me. Like, is it fair to not? I also think people do say, yo, when Bianca said this, I totally agree with her because blank. Or like, Bianca made a good point here. They say it to you. I just think, I don't know.
I just think the general comment is, Neil, you're smart or funny, and Bianca, you're beautiful. And I don't think that doesn't mean I'm not beautiful, and it doesn't mean you're not smart and funny.
No, it's not. It's not saying that I don't believe that it's because no one thinks I'm.
But no one, you're never going to get a letter. She's still fighting that fight for some reason.
I don't think she's, but I also don't think she's.
I love her pettiness.
She's not wrong.
If nothing else.
I love you. And she looked Persian and she had good skin.
Did she look Persian?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if she was.
Interesting. Let us know if you're Persian.
Please call back.
Go for another walk with your dog with a giant cobra
in the
chasing
cicadas.
Anything else? Audio, video? Okay, very good.
Goodbye.
Now we read. And I read.
You've got
Hi, Neil and Binky. I moved back to my hometown about a year and a half ago, and a girl I knew from high school called me out of the blue. Went for coffee, and I immediately knew it was going to be. It wasn't going to be a sexual relationship. Bianca, you're
sorry.
So beautiful.
I'm sorry.
We still kept in touch, and she called me on the phone about once a week just to chat, and it would be close to an hour. She is also chronically broke. She's just been asking me to give her progressively more money. First, it felt like I was just helping out a friend, but I recently looked back at it, and she asked me for about 10% of my salary for maybe the last 4 months. Part of it is because she's currently jobless, but I also see a lot of personal decisions she makes that I wouldn't make, and it annoys me that I'm sponsoring that. I would feel more responsible for her if I was at least fucking her. What's the best way to move forward? Please tell me how to Neil Filio and what Pinky Thinkerton.
That's really funny.
I think you got to get out of there.
No,
I
you
got
to
like wrong. I think you're getting played, my G.
Yeah, you got to dip set out of this situation.
You got to scram. You got to scram dog it.
No, I run. Just cut it. I just be like, hey, you know, right now I'm just not financially able to take, like, give, like, you know, give this to you and take care of what I need to take care of. I'd love to continue friendship, and I'm here for like emotional support or whatever. I don't know. You don't have to say that.
And what'll happen is she'll call you one more time and then she'll stop calling.
She'll be offended. There's a high chance of how dare you.
Yeah. Cause she's a grifter and they have to.
Because sometimes people like lie to themselves about what this is. And
you're right. She'll tell him how much she did for him.
It's like, well, why would you offer if you were, you know, I'm in this position and now you're just gonna, you know, it's like, it's his, now it's the burden is the responsibility is on him now. It's almost like, you know, some guys get stuck playing child support even though they find out the kid's not theirs.
Yeah. Well, that's legally.
No, I know legally. I'm just saying that it's like, well, you've been helping.
Yeah.
Can't just go.
So. Yeah, this is.
This is not like, good. Also, like, how did he get in this position?
What happened to you, dog?
10% of your salary? Is that pre-tax?
How does she know what 10% of your salary is? She,
no, he did it. He did the math and said, damn. What the
hell? Never met someone who was tithing to someone on a personal level. Personal tithe.
Family tithes.
A pive. Family tithe. Friendly tithe. I want this. I got to move on and hopefully we'll think it'll come
to us.
Tithing the knot.
Goodbye.
Closer. We're getting closer.
You've
hey, Neil and Binky. RC and LE been catching up on the podcast. I'm about a year behind. Just listen to White McGruff episode where Neil took a shot at the Big Lebowski. It's a paraphrase. He said it's got good characters and dialogue, but a bad story. He's not wrong, but I would defend the story as one of the best jokes in the movie. As a backdrop, remember that The Big Lebowski is an odd tribute to noir films like The Big Sleep and The Long Goodbye. Lebowski has elements of that genre. A kidnapping plot involving a trophy wife being the centerpiece with slowly unfolding aspects of the story behind that story, which ends up being a hustle, not an actual kidnapping. But what I love about The Big Lebowski is that the actual plot is about a guy who is inadvertently swept into this other story. Begins with the dude having his rug stolen due to confusion over his identity and ends where he is no longer involved in that story. So in a way, The Big Lebowski is a movie about a guy trying to untangle himself from a different movie, which is why it's hilarious to me that the movie ends once he's out of that other story. In a normal movie, we might have seen the birth of his coming child, a celebratory scene of the dude and Walter winning the bowling tournament, etc. But instead of seeing that, we just hear Sam Elliott muse about how these events might unfold. So is this a dumb story? Yeah, I think you could say it is, but that's what makes it so fun anyway. Thanks for everything you do. Thanks for everything you do. Love you both. I agree. I agree. I promise you most viewers don't view it this way.
No. This guy's super seer.
This guy's a real seer. This guy sees things people don't see. He's got 20/20. He went to the Jay-Z Justin Timberlake 2020 vision
black
tour.
Tie, was it?
Black tie. Suit and tie.
Suit and tie. Stupid.
The best Timberlake song in the last 10 years is that one for like Trolls.
Which one?
The one that sounds like McDonald's going. Can't stop the feeling.
Oh, Trolls. I thought that was about trolling. Oh. Oh, yeah. What does it go like?
Can't stop the feeling.
Wait, Timbaland did that?
Justin Timberlake.
Oh, I thought you said Timbaland.
Nope. Talking about Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Goodbye.
Hey, Neil Bianca. Deeply amused by this masturbation topic that keeps circulating on the show and the awareness that some folks have a higher propensity for ejaculation than their partner. In my most recent relationship, we were much more open and honest with each other than any of my previous partners. And because of that, we came to an understanding about each other's libidos and how to reconcile that. He masturbated almost every day, and that didn't stop just because we were in a relationship. It's what he needed to do, and who was I to stop him? If we didn't have sex that day, he would masturbate. Yes, it was sometimes annoying when I'd wake up at 5 a.m. to him wanking it before the alarm went off, which is, to me is so disgusting.
That's disgusting.
It's disgusting. Everything about that's disgusting, especially having an orgasm before noon. And if I was, you don't have orgasms between 2 a.m. and noon.
You don't, what's wrong with you?
No. Morning sex, no good. And like middle of the night sex is like, who's this for?
Okay. Neil, no orgasms on empty stomach for Neil.
Please. And if I was feeling a certain way, fuck it, I'd participate. But that was on my terms. And I never felt any pressure to get him off on a daily basis, which was something he needed to do. We broke up for two pretty big reasons. One, I didn't want kids, and he had two from a previous marriage. I thought I could do it. I knew it would be difficult, but fuck. Mm. And two, he said we didn't have sex enough, and that it was harming his self-esteem. Admittedly, our sex life declined, and I have a lot of factors I'd like to blame. But suffice to say, by the end, it wasn't really working. So, few questions for you. Neil, would you actually be comfortable masturbating regularly with your partner around? And Bianca, this is a great question. Would you be comfortable with your partner frequently masturbating, not just privately in the shower, hunched over and ashamed, but in the bed next to you when you're falling asleep? Yes. What do you think?
I don't care about the frequent masturbation.
How about in front of
you? I don't want to see it. No, that's, I mean, it's fine. It's almost like, do you want someone putting IKEA furniture together constantly? No. You know, they're really in their own world, can't talk to them.
It's a good analogy because when I masturbate, I do unlay the blueprints on paper.
Do you want someone completely on their phone?
A lot of lug nuts, if you know what I mean. The thing that my penis bends perfectly at a right angle, like the small little wrench they give you. So there's a lot of.
I don't know if I want to. I've been in a situation where it was. Obviously, this is not a good relationship. And the masturbating next to me was done as a fuck you. That's not funny.
Well,
or fun or nice.
It wasn't after you rejected him or after?
It was after, like, we were clearly not going to have sex after a situation.
Right.
Like, oh, okay, you can be a psycho and then vigorously, noisily, rudely masturbate. Like, no. So I don't know. I have PTSD, guys.
Post.
Make one up. Come on, do it.
There's no T. That sounds like dick.
Tithe.
Tithing. Post-tithe. Tithing. Stroke. Disability.
Post-stroke. Stupid. What about, have you been, what's going on?
I'm not masturbating in front of somebody. I'm not masturbating to somebody.
I think it's kind of weird.
It's prisony.
It just feels like, oh.
It's prisony. It's always a little fuck you.
It's a little fuck you, but dude, in the shower, I don't understand. Just in the shower when I'm not around. The masturbating openly around each other, but we don't have anything to do. Like, I'm making lunch and you're masturbating on the couch.
Oh, you're going to, while you make lunch. Yeah. I'm going to, because it's like a protest.
Yeah. It's uncomfortable.
Goodbye.
Protasturbation. Ellen, hi. LSCNER.
Well, that's nice.
I'm a mid-40s white man. And I've been dating my mid to early 20s white girlfriend for a little under a year. She seemed very well put together and mentally healthy for the first few months. They always do, sir. But and then a load of trauma red flags were unfurled upon me. This seems par for the course, but what concerns me is that for some of the issues, she doesn't see them as issues. For example, her mom is a straight narcissist who seeks to control every aspect of her life and says negative things about her to perhaps unintentionally keep her from thinking she'd be okay on her own in the world. She basically sees no issue despite admitting her mother's negging her caused her issues with bulimia. I have tried for a number of months to get her to go to therapy and talk to a professional. She's recently agreed to do so. My question is, in her current state of mental health, our relationship is poor and I cannot see myself being happy in it. However, I think the issues can be ameliorated, really nice word,
okay,
with therapy and effort on her part. Should I stay or should I go? Also, if I break up with her, how can I do it in a kind way? Can't help but feel like if I were to break up with her, I'd be giving up on her, which would compound some of the traumatic experience she's had with males in her past. Further, she's a great girl. I do think a relationship could work if she saw some improvement. However, that improvement is not guaranteed. Go.
Goodbye.
Yeah, it's not your responsibility.
And the improvement, it just, you're going to be worn the fuck out when she's functioning, barely.
Yeah.
You know, when she's kind of coming up to where you need her to be. If she's at the edge of where you need her to be, it's going to wear you out. You're going to not be attracted. You're just going to, it's just too much.
Yeah, I think I get the guilt, but.
Have you had that kind of like giving up on someone?
Yeah, it always feels like giving up on somebody. I mean, you don't want to give up on somebody. You're invested in their health, like their growth and all that dumb shit. It's, you just have to accept the collateral damage of like, this person's going to speak ill of me. Mm. But you also have to take into account half the people that speak to this person are going to think she's fucking batshit crazy.
Right.
So, yeah, go ahead and talk shit about me and then keep talking.
Right.
To
it's not
going to
end with me.
Yeah,
right.
to disprove that I'm a bad guy. Like, you keep talking, you'll see. Like, there's people I've broken up with that are bad relationships that I'm like, yeah, you don't have any credibility. So,
right.
I'm still out here.
Ouch, yeah.
Hi, Neil and LeBinks, RSTNLE. I've recently learned that 30% of women experience nocturnal emission. So it seems that some women also need sex to the point where our bodies cause us to have sex dreams and orgasm. Although, I believe this is probably tied to routine. If you're used to having this on a regular basis and then stop, your body sort of acts as an object in motion and is trained to continue the routine. I'm a woman in my late 30s and I masturbate or have sex pretty much every night. I have found that if I don't, I have nocturnal orgasms. I'm fully on board for sex or masturbation every night for both parties. I've been with guys who have had dick stuff, side effects due to medications, and that added with schedules and interest levels, we've always given each other the time and space to masturbate when needed. We also know that Neil's habit is once a day, but I am curious about Binky's take on female masturbation frequencies since it's rarely discussed. We're really learning more about
your
practices. You both deserve the hiatus from the pod, but you will be missed. How about some best of clip shows in the meantime? Not usually a fan of those, but I like the idea of the series of horse sound effects and Neil laughing.
Hate it,
Will, you're got some work to do.
You didn't even hit the sound.
But you have work to do for the clip show.
What?
Bianca, I'll repeat the question. Wait, what? I don't even remember what the question was. Wait, what are you asking me? I just got home. Why are you doing this?
What are we doing?
We have always, we know all Neil's habits of once a day. I'm curious about Bianca's take on female masturbation and frequencies.
Okay, I'm not going to fully speak on that. But I will say, I have always had nocturnal emissions.
With the best.
What are you? That's what she's telling us. What is she keeping secret,
Will?
And
I have a funny story that when I...
I'm signed up for all these emails. Alert. I got an alert on my phone for this shit.
It's always with... It's very... My sex dreams are weird. I have very weird dreams. One, I taste everything in my dream.
Okay.
No, that's not... That has nothing to do with the sex. Like,
well, okay. You ever had sex?
No, I just mean I taste chocolate, donuts, ice cream. I can remember the taste of them when I wake up and I have to go eat them.
Interesting.
Every guy I've ever dated, I always have a dream at some point that their body's made of hot dog and I eat half their body.
Okay.
Okay. So my dreams are strange. The only time I've had a sex dream, a lot of the time it's with strangers that I had a weird interaction with.
Interesting. Interesting. And positive or negative?
Kind of like not positive.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time,
do you eat hot dog, eat them?
Don't eat hot dog. Dog their body. No, that's just for someone I love. But it's 50-50 girls and guys, even though I'm fully straight and I have no interest in like sex with women.
It's overrated. Go ahead.
So I've heard. And when I used to play soccer, it was always, I would always have a section about the girl that we were.
The rival?
The rival.
The rival girl? I like that. So, I like that, so, as a motif.
Yeah, it's my motif. It's so I don't know. I don't know what's going on with me, but it's interesting at least.
Tell me about it. I built a podcast empire around it.
Goodbye.
R.L. Stein. I'm 21-year-old Neil-looking motherfucker. Tall, skinny, white glasses, big nose. We get it. So naturally, my girlfriend is an Asian girl. We got to walk it like we talk it. Recently, we got into an argument about white privilege. I said that the best definition of white privilege is, quote, it does not mean that your life is easy, but it does mean that your race isn't something that's a major, that's making your life harder. To try to explain this, I said that a black person that is a child of a rich person probably has a better life than a poor white person. She disagreed and made a Republican-esque argument that we shouldn't compare the hardships of one group to another, which is logically incongruent with the argument that I agree with for the existence of white privilege. Am I wrong about the definition of white privilege? Am I wrong to point out the difference between the classism and racism, despite their generally tight correlation? And am I wrong about the rich kid having an easier life than the poor white kid, despite the race of each one? Fuck a long-ass letter. Thanks for everything. How does Neeliophilio and what are the goddess of colors level of fondness or blunder? Swinging a miss.
Am I the goddess of color?
I guess. I don't know what
Sir,
that means.
Sir, what?
I don't know. He actually gave himself a swing and a miss.
Okay,
in parentheses, he wrote swing and a miss.
Okay, because what the hell? What? Go.
I think that's a great definition.
And
the same point, it's white privilege. What if it's, who's more privileged, LeBron James or a white guy in a wheelchair? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Lots of mitigating factors.
And also, we don't say when we're debating white privilege or explaining to people, everyone has privilege. That's what we're only saying white privilege. There's hot girl privilege. There's tall white guy privilege. You know, there is privilege when you are, I don't know, everyone has something they can kind of get away with that another person can't.
Right. It's the first time in history, though, that a group has been expected to compensate for their privilege.
I don't even know about compensate. It's just a concept that is making white people lose their mind.
Oh, yeah, but I think the expectation is, and therefore respond. You have privilege, so therefore you have to approach things differently.
Right. But a lot of it is, let's say, to...
Because white people call themselves privileged forever. Like, I'm from a privileged background. Right. There's expectations that come with it.
There's expectations that come with it, but the first expectation is, like, do you get it? And it's blowing people's minds. Literally does not change a white person's life at all. To be like, oh, yeah, you have white privilege.
My only defense of it is it's headed in that direction.
It feels like it is, but
I think it is. I think the I don't think black people care about making white people admit they have privilege. It's not for no reason. Cause like I said, white people have gone like, I'm from a privileged background and there was no, and therefore, but now there's a therefore. Like they would have said, I mean, or you're from an underprivileged background.
But the only thing people really want is, do you get why? Do you get why blank is blank? You have white privilege. So do you get why it's like this for me? Most of it isn't asking like, now cough up $5 for BLM. It's like, and we're talking to people, the people who are losing their minds are people with like boats in Arizona who are like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Their life, they're not going to do anything. It's just a concept to try to explain something to somebody that.
Do you like this definition?
It's okay.
What would you like to see in it?
The
definition again, it does not mean that your life is easy to have white privilege, but it does mean that your race isn't something that's making your life harder.
Yeah, it's fine. It works. But I do think to explain white privilege to people, it's you don't benefit There's no, like, I like thinking of things as a graph. Your graph doesn't go up. There's plenty of poor white people that get treated like, you know, they're just different than rich people, different than people from, like, cut from a different cloth. So I think when you say privilege,
just built different,
just high cognitive, them cognitives,
but race, Norman.
To me, it's like white privilege is really good coin termed for attention getting and a really bad term for white people understanding.
I think we need to combine them, defund the white privilege.
Okay, what does that look like? Neil, that looks like a studio apartment for you. So
never gonna happen. it's too late for that. Guys, go after the others.
Yeah.
He's chilling. Come on.
He's under the weather.
I'm under the weather. I got a cold. Not now. How privileged can I be? I have a cold. I barely have an immune system. Guys. All right.
Yeah.
Well, you want to speak of white privilege? One of the great things about white privilege is
what?
You don't have to take shit from people.
Don't.
And I'm going to share that with you.
Thank you.
My queen of color blunder or whatever the fuck you called it. Goddess of color. Yes, thank you for coming. Thank you for encouraging us to vacation. It's funny.
Thank you. It's hilarious. We don't have to say. He froze.